Hey out there, thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. One quick note about this episode, this was our first episode featuring a live in-studio guest, so of course we had some mic level problems, so please bear with us on that. Secondly, the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast starting this week will move to a bi-monthly schedule. So rather than weekly episodes, we're going to move to an episode every other week, still Monday mornings. We really appreciate you guys listening. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 126. What is the North Georgia Elder Abuse Task Force?
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello out there and welcome. I am Will Smith and...
And I am Rob Schenck. We've never done it that way.
This is going to be something new. We actually have a live guest with us today, Joe Gavilis, who is the founding partner of CTG and Associates, which is an investigative and consulting firm located in Metro Atlanta.
And just to be clear, when Will says live, literally live.
He's absolutely
eyeball
here.
Eyeball to eyeball with Joe right here today. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Will. I interrupted you.
And CTG specializes in litigation support and forensic accounting for major fraud matters, receiverships, employee benefit plans, and related businesses. Joe retired from the U.S. Department of Labor Office of Labor Racketeering after a 28-year career in federal law enforcement. During his tenure, he served as a supervisory resident agent in Atlanta, was special assistant to the director, Office of Special Investigations, and served as the national coordinator of the Organized Crime and Racketeering Program in Washington, D.C. In 2010, Joe was a founding member of the Cobb Elder Abuse Task Force. He is currently the law enforcement coordinator of the organization. He holds a Bachelor in Science degree from the University of Bridgeport. He enjoys golfing and traveling with his wife, Susan, and he is the host of the Safe Senior Hour on America's Web Radio, which is a weekly podcast. Joe, we're very honored and privileged to have you here in the studio today.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you for the invitation, and just really appreciate what you all do, just helping to educate the public, and that's one of our goals at the North Georgia Elder Abuse Task Force. The task force actually started in Cobb County. It started basically because I was on the West Coast and talking to the district attorney. We're working with the district attorney in Santa Clara County, which is San Jose.
Right.
And I met one of the assistant DAs, and she said, I asked what kind of cases you work. She said, I work elder abuse cases. I'm like, that's what all you do? And she said, oh, yeah, aren't you doing anything like that in Georgia? I said, we're unaware of it. One of the hats I wear, I'm the appointed by Commissioner Bob Ott to be on the Cobb County Neighborhood Safety Commission. Mm-hmm. So I came back and I said, maybe this is an area we need to look at because our population, the aging population is growing. And so we came back, and a long story short, I remember we started in a little room. I just heard somebody recreated this the other day. We were six of us around the table and started. And that has since grown to an organization that now addresses elder abuse issues in North Georgia. And we define North Georgia as Columbus to Macon to Augusta. And we define, and you have many definitions of elder abuse, and three areas. One is physical, which I think people understand when they see the horrible situation some seniors are in. Two, financial, which by far is the biggest elder abuse, mm-hmm. the exploitation. And that's done mostly, unfortunately, by loved ones, relatives, people who the seniors trust. But there is a 40% of those cases, or so they say, is done by professional scam artists all over the world. But the last one, which I know we're going to talk about here, is institutional abuse. And we see and hear a lot of that. And I say see or hear a lot of it. Since the task force has been formed, I have spoken we're close to 2,000 now, elders and seniors throughout the North Georgia area.
Right.
in an educational format where we teach them about what to look for, what to do, who to report to, any instances of issues. And one of the big components of that training, or those, we call them conversations that we have with the seniors, is institutional abuse. And because I think if you go around and talk to people, whether it's, you know, I laugh when I say, whether it's kids of the seniors. Well, kids of the seniors are 50 years old, yeah. 40 years old. They're not kids, you right. know, they're adults. And everybody will probably know, will go to the room and say, if you don't know personally, I'm sure you know where somebody in your family, or you know somebody who's had an issue in a institutional situation, whether it's a nursing home, and there are many things they call it, personal care homes, or assisted living.
Yeah.
And you know, you see people nodding. And so what we try to do, and we work very closely with the law enforcement community and the regulatory community. And an important part of that, of course, is the Ombudsman program, which I think you've had people on from the Ombudsman.
Oh, Melanie McNeil. Yeah.
She's, yes, many absolutely times. Great. And her people throughout the state are great. And there are so many components to addressing elder abuse in Georgia. And we try to bring those together in the law enforcement regulatory situation. Every month, we have a monthly luncheon, educational meeting with law enforcement and regulatory officials in the metro area. And then we have set up many task forces.
Sure.
There's one in the LaGrange, Columbus area. There's one in the Northwest Georgia, the Rome, Gordon County, Catoosa, Walker County. There's one in the North Central, which comes up from the Blue Ridge, Jasper area. We just started one in Winder for that area.
So what is the relationship between the Cobb Elder Abuse Task Force and the North Georgia Elder Abuse Task Force?
It's just one of like six.
Okay.
That now, because we go actually out to throughout North Georgia and meet with the seniors. Cobb stays in their own area.
Yeah.
Now, the significance of all these task forces are because, as everybody knows, budgets are tight, and this is kind of a specialty crime. So there aren't that many people working these cases in the law enforcement community. And
I think it's worth to note that you are all volunteers for this, right?
Right, right. The task force is all volunteers. That's absolutely correct. And so we created a foundation in last September, Good. October, and we're getting started, but as volunteers, they come and go. So we have our ups and downs. Our website is now under construction, but we live off of donations. And what people say, what do you use the donations for? It's not to pay mileage. It's not to pay anything right now. It's that we can get together and put these meetings on.
Sure.
And with law enforcement, having been in the business for 30 years, the best way to get everybody at a meeting is have it lunch and training at the same time, because everybody's got different interests and different scheduling with meetings and interviewing witnesses, but they all get to eat lunch.
Yeah.
Right. So we get everybody there
so
together.
So who's at these meetings then?
I'll go on the law enforcement side. It's from federal, state, local level. We start from the local police to the county police, county sheriff's offices. All depends where you are. Prosecuting attorneys, GBI. As you know, GBI, yeah. This is one of their original jurisdictions that they can come in a case on. We have representatives then from various state agencies. There is a forensic group that works these kind of cases, which gets more involved in the situations that take place and in institutional settings. And then we have Adult Protective Services, healthcare mm-hmm. facilities regulators, which I'm sure you all are familiar with.
Right.
And, you know, you almost need a roadmap, who does what, where, when, yeah. and how. But the idea, now we have everybody together and trying to meet. And we've invited to these lunches like people from the probate court to tell us, tell law enforcement, regulatory people, what they can do. We have people from the medical profession to come in. But the idea is, as far as from the criminal side and regulatory side, the people that are either you on the criminal side, criminals, or people that do bad things on the civil side, we have to remember that boundaries mean nothing to them.
Yeah.
I mean, so they don't care whether they're in a city, in the county, and where they live. And now we're seeing states. We're trying to put a effort on to coordinate activities with our bordering states.
Sure.
And because what happens, and it's a sad, not a sad state of affairs, it's just the communication has never really been there that much. And unfortunately, you know, when elderly people pass, it's always some say they die of old age. Everybody's heard of that. Right. Well, there's a new emphasis on now. Well, why did they die?
Yeah.
And the situations that law enforcement, regulatory people look at. And we have to remember, even though these are kind of modeled after 30 years ago when they were after child abuse,
mm-hmm.
Adults are adults, and they have the right for self-determination.
Absolutely.
So, which is always a big deal. But you see situations, and some of these are just, you know, absolutely, you know, horrible. You just feel for the people and feel for the loved ones. They don't know what to do. So, you know, the old adage, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
Tell a professional, law enforcement, tell somebody that you trust to call a state agency, report it, get it off your conscience. Get somebody there to help them. I'll give you an example. North Georgia, finally a neighbor called in and said, you better go check on Mrs. X.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the house, couldn't get in. I think they ended up force entry, welfare checks. And I'm going to deviate. Anybody out there that has concern about a senior anywhere, they're living alone, you can always call law enforcement, sheriff's office, police, and say, I want a welfare check. I haven't been able to speak to him. Because, you know, the horrible feeling, and it happened, and I'm deviating, but I know a case, again, in North Georgia, a woman fell coming out of the bathtub. Nobody was checking on her. All her kids, like it is today, they don't live here.
Yeah.
They've moved. They live in another state, and they call. Well, she doesn't answer. So finally, daughter finally called the next day, and the woman was, I think it was 12 hours on the floor with a broken hip. In pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't see Mrs. Jones every day who's walking the dog, you know, calling somebody, said you might want to check on him.
I have done that before. My mother is a paraplegic and she's elderly.
Oh, God bless her, yeah.
And used to live alone. We won't let her do that anymore.
No.
But I had to call the White County or the Sauntee Fire Department and go, hey, check on her. And they did. And she had fallen. Was on the ground.
Well,
you got to do that. You know, people don't want to do it, but if you haven't heard from somebody,
well, you do. And go back to the original story where the neighbor called and they had to go in and force entry into the house. The woman was there in her bed, in just terrific conditions, feces, urine.
Oh, man.
And her back had grown into the sheet.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, they looked at her and got her immediately in an ambulance, took her. As you know, as you get around and on the fringes of Georgia, if you're up in North Georgia, Northwest Georgia, you go to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
That's the hospital. If Alabama's down near Columbus, they come to Georgia.
Right.
So it's unique because each state, as you all know, as lawyers, have different laws and different rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Well, they took the person to Chattanooga. And they came back and said, how could this go on? Well, the woman who was, I think she was 91, that, you know, I'm not leaving my house. This is my house. I don't care what you do. So she kind of intimidated the neighbor till the neighbor just said, I got a call. But her son, every week, would come in and feed her. Well, why wouldn't you call? This is your mother. And even though she says no, and, you know, you get talking to people, this self-determination, you know, no, she hadn't been ruled with dementia or any medical conditions where you could maybe get probate in, a conservator or
guardian.
So, and, you know, they got her. And so then the county officials come in because it was so bad. as you know, in these situations, they'll wear sometimes, masks.
They have to. It's a hazmat issue.
Right. Yeah. And they just condemn the house.
Yeah.
So hopefully she'll be taken care of. But, you think, well, that's one. We just got another one.
Yeah.
Same thing. This time was a little unusual that she was there. And the condition was so bad, she got to the hospital and passed. Well, the issue comes. Well, she died in Tennessee because of things that happened in Georgia. You get into different laws and different things, both, on the criminal side and the civil side.
And autopsies, when they're supposed to be performed.
Oh, absolutely.
And Joe, you mentioned this a minute ago, but what are some of the topics of the training that you guys provide? Like, what you talked about probate and issues with probate. What else? What are the other seminars that you guys give, and who is generally the audience? You said law enforcement might be some,
Law enforcement, regulatory. We've had and mandated reporters. Mm-hmm. We've had seminars we've put on here on into the financial exploitation on these international gangs that are exploiting people. These like romance scams and different things, which you could do a whole nother show on, which is amazing. A lot of money being lost that way. But the when you get outside of Atlanta or even in Atlanta, people don't really know what the different agencies do, both criminal and civil and the regulatory agencies. So we'll have them come on and we'll have a training situation. The last one, the big one we did was in Northwest Georgia. It was a day training. And there we had probate court judges explain situations. We had actual DAs put on cases, what they looked at, what the unique prosecutorial theories. And then we had various state agencies that would come in and tell everybody what we do. We had like 100, and I think we had 110 for that one. The training that's needed, there's specialized training all over. The state is starting to do it more. We have this forensic unit that people should really be aware of from in Georgia on to help them. They run a class called ACT. It's a advanced criminal techniques or that deal with just elder abuse. And that unit's headed by Pat King, who has been through mandate as a law enforcement officer, but is also a nurse, and she's wonderful. And they marry up with training put on by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. The head of that unit that just deals, they have a unit that just deals an ASAC, Heather Strickland, that oversees their statewide enforcement coordination through the areas. Each GBI region, I think they have 10, I might be wrong, I think it's 10, they have an elder abuse specialist who's been through this ACT training. But you've got to constantly go through these trainings, and the idea of bringing people together for the training brings them together. Like, I'm meeting you all for the first time,
right. And
you all have interests. Well, they're meeting people, and somebody say, I have this situation. Well, I had it too. Here's what we did. It just, it saves time, it saves money, and it makes everybody reassured they're doing the right thing. Having said that, one of our big training, and we're going to be doing again, is tabletop exercises. You hear about it happening if something happens at the stadium or something like that.
Yeah.
We did a big training top in Cobb. I think we had 76 participants. Like, this call came in, and you're sitting around with all the different components. You're talking with the 911, with the fire and rescue, the EMTs, the police, regulatory, and you're around the table, and, I don't know if you've all been on any tabletop exercises. Say, okay, this call came. What do you do now? What should you do? Okay, now we're going to say the scenario now moves to this. What are you going to do now? It would happen to be about an unlicensed personal care home, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
And it sounds like something that we do in the military, which is like a joint task force exercise where everybody gets together, you have a scenario, and you see what the kinks are because you find out, oh, well, this call didn't go through, these people didn't coordinate with these people. That sounds excellent.
And And who should you call?
Right.
I'll tell you, the as you go into these situations, and you can go around the state, and I'm more familiar with the criminal activity in terms of criminal enforcement activity, but it has been equal around the state that the state has now come in, and law enforcement see they have to marry up with their civil and regulatory partners.
Right.
Because they'll go in, I think they hit, in North Georgia, they hit a, I don't know if it was a nursing home or a big assisted living. Well, you got to remember, being in law enforcement, and you gentlemen understand, if I got a warrant for XYZ residence because there's dope there,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to go in, I'm going to look for dope, and I'm going to leave. Or there's guns or financial records. Well, here you're talking about abuse in a personal care home,
yeah.
Or in an assisted living. Well, not only do you have to go look for the hard evidence, conduct interviews, you've got live people that are there that have, you know, they're self-determined. They can determine whether they can stay there or not.
Yeah.
And you have to take care of them. And a lot of them, they can't walk or they have issues. So you have to have the regulatory people, the civil people to come in. So what normally would have been, maybe you'd hit a house or hit an area for, with, you know, 10 or 15 agents or law enforcement
sure.
people. I mean, they're now up to like 50 and 60 people. It's a big coordinated effort. And the area before was law enforcement always kept that to himself, you know.
Like, right.
You know, well, we're going to hit this house. No longer. You got to plan. You got to trust people. And that's what they're finding they do, because the purpose of all this is to take care of these elderly. I mean, you don't want them to live in the squalor or
yeah.
in this situation. And we show videos of what it's like, and the TV shows videos of what it's like, how bad the conditions are. How can this happen? How
and you're
can
talking this... about the personal care homes and the
assisted living and nursing homes.
Assisted living, nursing homes.
You know, the big
the
one.
Institutional.
I think right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about now, institutional. And you look at that, and there was a huge one they did in South Georgia
yeah.
where it was just a lot of people. And luckily, they had a place to put the people.
Yeah.
But you got to figure out, what are you going to do with them, you know? I mean, you want to take care of them. Basic things. How are you going to feed them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because if anybody, and I hope, you know, a lot of people aren't there or experienced one, you know, people aren't in and out on these searches in, you know, 30 minutes.
Sure.
You know, it takes a while to search, and here these people are due their medicine, they're due their food, and you have to take care of all that, because as you take over a location, you're responsible for
yeah.
everybody in it. And I think just the response from law enforcement is good, we still don't have enough people to do it.
Well, also, I would imagine that until somebody sees something and says something to you guys, how would you know?
You don't. We're, yeah. Right. We're,
it has to be on your radar somehow.
It's got to be brought in the radar. And again, in Georgia, because of the successful, the use of RICO is really helped. We're one of the few states, and I interact with a lot of states and a lot of people. Tennessee, we interact. We go to Nashville. I see you all have an office in Nashville.
Yeah.
And the people up there are great. And they think we're great because we have the greatest laws, because they don't have a lot of the good laws to fight elder
sure.
abuse like we do. We love what they have is their a computer list of people. I'm trying to think of the exact name that they call it, but you can go up there and you can go into this entity and say, I want to hire John Smith to take care of my father.
Oh, right.
And John Smith goes in and they go up and say, John Smith, no, it's physical abuse or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it is the gold standard throughout the United States, what Tennessee does. And they're very, very good. And that's why we talk about the situation. We're trying to try to get a coordinated multi-state meeting of just people working this from the enforcement point of view and a regulatory. And like Chattanooga looks good because it's kind of common to Alabama
sure.
and Georgia and Tennessee.
And we're getting that too, because I know that Sharon Cooper, who's probably worked with you guys a lot, sponsored a bill that dealt with the registry of CNAs.
That's right. Well, that was to enhance. They always were there, but they never did. Only thing they did. I know that I was involved and testified, and
right.
and it happens to be she's my representative and a neighbor of mine.
Yeah.
And but she's her heart is to help seniors.
It really is.
Absolutely.
She has been behind some of the best bills out there.
And we're able to talk to her and say, this is what you need. And it's like she said, we don't want to have you. We want to do what's legal and what's right, but we don't want you guys handcuffed, the regulatory people or the law enforcement. So how can we tweak a bill? There was a bill just came through. They tweaked. They found out that, and you guys know more about the criminal thing. I'm not a lawyer. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, but I'm not a lawyer. But it's something of levity or make it a lesser crime. You have to charge. Let's call levity or something. Anyway.
Leniency?
I don't. There's something like that. But
does this have to do with RICO?
No, this has to do with just a battery. As you know, in Georgia, if crimes are committed against elderly, it's an enhanced crime.
Right.
And it can be a predicate act for RICO. But there is also, and again, I'm kind of talking as I'm not anywhere a legal expert, but it used to be just a battery, which was a misdemeanor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it goes against a person who's elderly, it's a felony under the exploitation statute. And so they cleared that up. It's this cleanup act, these cleaning up the statutes, which are really good. She's great, and if anybody out there, if you ever really want to be just amazed, go down to the Capitol and see how legislation is done. It is truly like seeing how sausage is made.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
We had Sharon on the podcast.
We did, and we're actually going to have Assemblywoman Unterman on in probably maybe 2 or 3 months.
She's
a state senator,
State senator.
But she's, in fact, there was just in the paper some talk she might be running for U.S. Congress.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's true or not, but it came up. But those people are good. And you know, just we talked about a horrible situation earlier in Lafayette.
Right.
Which is Walker County for people who know. And it hit the Washington Post headlines. It was on the news here. It was a horrible situation with a 90-year-old woman. And there is a civil case going on.
It's the Scabies case.
Right.
Yeah. Her body was literally falling apart.
Correct. And she worked in World War II on the ships.
Beauty queen was
a TV or radio commentator.
Yeah.
And anyway, that case showed that there are a lot of deficiencies in the reporting requirements here.
Yeah.
We have a very strong mandated reporter law in Georgia. And for whatever it was, it fell through the cracks. Representative Cooper held study committee meetings. I don't know if you all went.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there trying to do the civil case. She wasn't trying to confirm or non-confirm any criminal case. She just wanted to know what didn't work and why it didn't work and what do we need to do so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Yeah.
And I think they've got, she might be doing one more study group on it. But these issues, and she held them with representatives of the Nursing Home Association, and she held it with the public health.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was interesting. It's almost like, I don't know how to, but after 9/11, what we did with all the various departments, we consolidated them under Department of Homeland Security. It's kind of like that. Like, how do we better have agencies, law enforcement agencies, regulatory agencies, communicate with one another? Because maybe, you know, the health department might not talk to the Department of Community Health and things like that. And, you know, it's
Adult Protective Services isn't talking with the legislature, and that's why
Tennessee and other people say you all are doing a great job in enhancing your laws and working on them. I think 2 or 3 years ago they came in that now a mandated reporter you're required to report. It used to be and now it's and. You got to report both to Adult Protective Services or healthcare facility, regulatory, and law enforcement.
Right.
And each of those have to report to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see at these, when we go to these meetings and try to get the lunch, try to get the format, what's the best way to do it. And that helps. It enlightens it. And again, you got to remember the adult protective and healthcare facility people are regulatory people. You know, and my concern coming from law enforcement community, everybody, is their safety. Because they're out, and if anybody knows in rural Georgia, you're knocking on homes or in some of the cities and kind of bad areas.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to get that community of interest with law enforcement to come in, and we've seen that. We've seen it's really – is it perfect? No, but we've seen it. It's really helped. And then they changed the law again on the financial reporting that now any transactions have to report by a financial institution. A lot of states don't have that, which is big. And so consequently – law enforcement and adult protective services are getting notices from banks on suspicious activity. As I said, the financial exploitation is one of the biggest that affects seniors because they're lonely. And when we talk to them, I just spoke yesterday to a group and give everybody their geography. Do you know where Catoosa County is? Somerville. Nice bunch of people and sitting around. And, you know, everybody wonders, you know, why me? Why are people, you know, financially or whatever it is? Well, basically, this generation, we're very trusting.
Yeah.
A handshake would do everything. Yeah. You know, I don't see that much. You don't see too many. Well, that's a deal anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get my lawyer to look at it and your lawyer. And but out in the rural areas, it's a handshake. And that these people were able to save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And these money and the professionals understand that, and unfortunately, so do the relatives. They know that grandma or grandpa saved money, and their thought is, well, it's going to be mine, or the son or daughter, it's going to be mine. So we
and social media changes it. I have to drill my mom on this all the time that, you know, we have code words just because it's a picture of me. And it says it's me doesn't mean it's me.
Right. Don't ever give money. I mean, the last thing on the three areas with seniors, they're trusting. They have saved a little bit of money, but boy, they love their kids, especially their grandkids. So a whole new scam called the grandparent scam. And when I talk about scams, I'm not talking about it happened here or there, or it happened up in New York or out in California. It's happening right here in Georgia, in North Georgia, and people are getting taken left and right.
Their entire life savings is wiped out.
Gone.
If you're 80 years old, you're not going to get another job somewhere.
I mean, exactly. You're living on it, and the false hopes are amazing. And just to let people know, we're sitting around this table, and we like to have conversations with seniors. Yeah. That's the best way, because they kind of see that it's not just them, that there are people out there and they can help. But we had cases here from Cobb. It's a famous case. Woman got taken for $7 million. I think what the quarter was $4 million, but it ended up $7 million. Got a lot of it back. The new head of the GBI, Vic Reynolds, and his he was a district attorney, and now the acting attorney, John Melvin, did the case. The woman's okay. She's in her 90s. But the scam artist met her met her daughter at church and worked their way up. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we'll go fast forward. We had a situation of a gentleman that worked in a mill all his life, and a friend calls in and says, "You need to look at John. He's 70-something years old, and he's got this 44-year-old woman with her 10-year-old kid living in his house." In a very old house. It was like, I the term Southerners used to me, I wasn't familiar, shotgun houses, you know, where it's just one room after another. It's very narrow. You know,
I think that's a real South Georgia kind of thing.
Yeah, but whatever it is. Lived there and had an old pickup truck. Befriended her. The regulatory and law enforcement went out. Everything's fine. She's helping take care of me, so and so. Well, it turns out she was a heroin addict. Had commit several crimes, and got a call 2 months later that she had convinced him to get a power of attorney. She sold the house, didn't have the house anymore, went, sold the truck, didn't have the truck anymore, and he was destitute and, like, about to be living on the street, his last money. And so we were able to come in with the regulatory and the private agencies helped this gentleman. So, but that was like his total amount every month was like $600, $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, so the extremes are there, and it's so prevalent that people are preying on the seniors. and disabled. When we say seniors in Georgia, they're called at-risk adults. Mm-hmm. And if you're over 18 and you have some kind of a handicap or some issues,
well, it's like
plus elderly.
It's Aging and Disability Resource Center. Well, Joe, can you tell us, for anybody out there, whether or not they want to get in touch with you or your task force to volunteer, to donate, to go to a seminar, what's the best way that people out there listening right now can get a hold of your organization?
Okay, right now, and people ask us that, first of all, any information on any of the issues we talk about, whether it's physical, financial, or institutional, and you have a concern, call your law enforcement, report it, say I have a suspicion. I just had that yesterday that I'm passing on, but get it to your local law enforcement. To us, we go out, the best way to help is volunteer your senior services, because people don't go out with us.
Yeah.
We conduct this. The donations, we certainly accept at the foundation. And
how do they give those? That's important.
Well,
if there's not a way now, there's going to be a way with the website, right?
Right, right. With the website, you can do it online, or you can contact me at, I'll give you my email, Joseph, Joseph, Gavalis, Gavalis, at comcast.net, and I will get it to you, to our treasurer.
Yeah.
And we'll try to do it. We've been very successful. Amazing how many, not just individuals, but companies will donate amount of money because they see there's a need. This education
there's
is needed.
There's a huge need for this.
And we steer, when we hear things, we do that. I just go on the show. I'll plug the radio show.
Yeah, please do. I was going to ask
about that. Which we do for free, which we were asked, the foundation was asked to take part, or whether we'd be interested to do a weekly radio show.
Okay.
And I was like, as I do have, I have a face for radio, but not really for television. But they talked us into it, and we tried it. And I think we've done, it's from like November. And every Monday, it's at 10 to 11.
Okay.
It's on America's Web Radio.
Okay. And to clarify, in case anybody's confused, that is an internet radio.
Right, that's correct.
You're not going to find it on your car.
What's the URL?
Oh, I'm not sure, but we could probably put it up under there.
Gene, we'll get Gene to.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so we do it, and we have an hour program. We're the only one, we believe, in the country that deals with seniors and the term SAFE, how we came up with it. Seniors who are abused or financially exploited, and we have guests from all over the country. This goes nationwide, but it'll give you some good ideas. And hopefully that you'll be able to listen and some ideas of people who to call to help you, not just law enforcement. You have some issues. We tell everybody, I'm not a lawyer, but you could contact your lawyers or contact, legal aid, contact somebody. There are a lot of issues that are very unique, and we're not here to give legal advice. We're there to point you where to go.
Yeah.
And one of our training things I didn't mention, but it's appropriate now, is what's really misunderstood is the power of attorney for seniors. I was shocked.
I'm with
about
you on that.
And actually, they tweaked the law here in Georgia last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the main points we tell everybody is, see a lawyer if you can. Go to legal aid. But if you put a power of attorney in, you can rescind it.
Yeah.
They've been convinced, a lot of seniors, that once I gave it to Mary Jo,
it's over with.
Yeah. I can't get it back. Well, that's just not true.
Yeah.
And
it's not a guardianship.
That's correct.
Which is also a big problem. But
right.
At least a power of attorney you can rescind.
Right, right. So we're these are things like that we get. And actually, there are pamphlets that are made. I should have brought some that we give out. And we go to all these senior centers throughout. Take advantage of the senior centers wherever you are.
Yeah.
It's a great resource. They have a lot of handouts. And they set up meetings. We will go to any group to hold a seminar for seniors. We will bring in normally the local regulatory people and law enforcement people, so you all get to know who they are.
Yeah.
And then, I'll be honest with you, most of the information of helping them, we give it our way, we give it out. It's afterwards in these little individual meetings. Well, I have an uncle that does so, where they don't want to stand up and say that.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. And you know, a lot of times people ask us, well, it's more of a civil issue or whatever it is. And so what we'll try to do is we don't recommend, A, we'll give them three attorneys or we'll give them three accountants or something like that. Or we'll do the research because they don't know where to go. I don't know if I've got, do I have like a few more minutes or how
of
we
course,
do it?
Yeah. I mean, whatever you
well,
got
I just
got
to tell a great story. And I tell it to everybody. And it's, I mean, I got tons of stories about it, but this is a funny story. You got rural jewelry. We call it the nosy neighbor story. And it actually happened up in up on the Tennessee-Georgia border. And when you get into rural areas, you know, people, the houses aren't right next door to one another. They might be, you know, might be down the road, but you might be able to see them, but they're not right next to one another. Two widows, 182, 184. One woman kind of had dementia, and the 84-year-old who was down there, who we'll call the nosy neighbor versus, and the victim is the 82-year-old. She looks out the window of the nosy neighbor and sees a pickup truck in the driveway of Nell, her friend.
Sure.
She said, "What's going on?" So she got dressed and went down there, and there in the driveway is a pickup truck, and two guys are working on the driveway. So she goes to the door to see her friend Nell and said, "What's going on?" And Nell says, "We had the two nicest men. They just came by and said they were working on a driveway down the road, and they have some extra material. And they saw my driveway needed repair." And she said, "It does." And they gave me a special deal. They said, "We're going to look at it, and we'll probably be no more than, I think, $300 or something." So Nell says that, and says to the nosy neighbor, "I think that's a good deal." And she said, "You didn't give me any money, did you?" And Nell says, "No." So the nosy neighbor goes out and gets her cell phone and walks up to these two gentlemen and starts taking their picture. And they go, "Hey, hold on there. If you don't stop doing that, we're going to call the sheriff." The nosy neighbor said, "Don't worry, I already did."
Yeah.
They jumped in their pickup truck and they went away. Yeah. She took a picture of the license plate.
Yeah.
The district attorney, the sheriff's office came out, and the district attorney took a warrant out for attempted exploitation of a senior. Kind of unique charge, but this guy had a history when they ran the plate and everything. So, you know, nosy neighbors can be good, and the people love it. And said,
"Yeah,
no need." And when she said they couldn't, it was funny. She said, "I couldn't believe how quick they threw their stuff in the back of that pickup truck and got out of there."
I'm sure.
But anyway, that's on the exploitation side. But we tell everybody, if you live alone and you're out there, do not ever let somebody in your house you don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's your advantage right now. You got the door locked. Either you can talk through the door. But once you let them in, you're on their toes. Because how are you going to get them out? You're in your 80s, 70s, or 80s. What are you going to do? Kind of hide to call the police? It doesn't happen that way. And then what do they get there? But if you can keep them out of the house, and the old theory was hide and don't answer the door. Well, that's not the theory anymore. Theory is talk through the walls, talk through the door, let them know somebody's in there. Because if they don't, otherwise they might just be checking and they'll come around the back door and break in. And then there you are in there. So, you know, but these are all things, you know, to help seniors and help basically anybody, you know. And never, never pay, I'm just going to leave it with this, never send money to somebody that you met on the internet that you've never met. And don't say, "Well, you saw a picture," because those pictures are meaningless. You need to do it. The horror stories are horrible. But the other point we want to make sure everybody understands, if you have somebody in an institutional setting, and you want to talk somebody confidentially, I believe the ombudsman in Georgia, that's the law, you can call them. And they will try to attempt whatever your desire is. They have an obligation to keep it confidential unless you say, "Help me."
Absolutely.
And help me could mean go to a civil attorney, go to the police, go to a regulatory agency.
Go to the district attorney. Helps. Yeah.
There are horrible situations. And if you look, there have been two big cases here in Georgia where for some reason with the social media and cell phones that the people work in these homes start photographing.
Yeah.
Photographing your loved one and horrible, either sexual or
we've got one right now,
or horrible.
It's getting worse.
And you know, let's make it clear, it's against the law.
Absolutely,
it's criminally against the law. And then especially once they post it, it's really against the law. And the issue is in these places that you, that that they are paying good money for the safety and security in these institutional settings, that, you know, something's got to be done. It doesn't take much to enforce kind of, you know, good policies about people with cell phones and stuff. And some of them are horrible, are just a horrible situation.
Yeah, I can't imagine. We didn't have cell phones when I worked in a nursing home, so I can't imagine what it's like now.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people working in these nursing homes are transitional. They'll be here for a year, and then they'll come over here. And, you know, a lot of times it's easier to let them go than report them.
Yeah.
And you know, because, well, I don't know what to report or what to do. And so consequently, and again, I'm not here, I'm not a lawyer, but some of the best cases have been made when the family took it in their own deal. And I know it's a one-party state to record. Mm-hmm. And so somebody in a single room, but that's where you should confer with your lawyers and stuff.
It can be tricky.
And but if you're concerned, that's the best evidence.
Yeah.
You know, as law enforcement people tell me, the cameras aren't there to stop crime. Cameras are there to catch the person.
Yeah.
Because cameras don't stop it. Actually, they tried to put a bill in the legislature, it went nowhere, to have mandatory cameras. But it was all controlled. I don't know if you guys saw that bill. It was all controlled by the nursing home or whatever it is, about whether you can have it, whether you can use it. It was like,
they have a similar bill in Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, well, I think that people are still doing it.
On the down low.
Yeah, covertly, but.
I just say confer. You don't want to do anything, but you do want to keep the safety of your loved ones. And absolutely, a lot of these are very important to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because, excuse me, if you hear some of the stories we hear about how some of the people are perceived being taken care of, it's horrible. And the other thing, do not fall, when you have a loved one and you're looking to try to place them in an institution, whether assisted living, personal care home, please just don't, you know, investigate it fully. Look at it. You can go on the website in Georgia, just Google it in there and find out about, because each licensed institution has a record when they were inspected, and they have a record of what they found. And we've had several cases where a family went and they were taken by the owners of this institution and showed, or a personal care home, assisted living, and they saw this beautiful thing and how everybody would live and everything. And when the patient is put in there, they're not on this first floor. They're hidden down in a basement, three other people, separated by a curtain. The water doesn't run. The food is horrible. And some of the telltale signs, and I'm sure you guys can add in, if you go to see your loved one, go unannounced. Because once you plan, I know in one situation, they call and we're coming over to see Uncle John or whatever it is. It's your lucky day. This today we're taking Uncle John out to Wendy's. And they never saw the conditions he lived in.
Because
every day they were at, there was, I mean, he's coming back from the doctor. We'll meet you somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, try to do unannounced visits. And anything that you see that you're skeptical of, please tell somebody.
Yeah.
It can, you know, it can get worse. And that's the problem. And the conditions, you don't want that. And, you know, you're paying for good care. And the dignity these people have, you don't need that to have the famous one here. A video.
Oh, the World War II veteran. Yeah.
The guy that was ringing for help.
Yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable. For the people that know, he was ringing for help.
Yeah.
And the CNA.
CNA and a nurse in there, and they're laughing.
They're laughing while he's ringing for help, and he ended up dying.
He ended up dying.
You know,
they lied about it later and said that they weren't laughing until they were shown the video.
The video, which was taken by the
family. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, but before you take that and, quote, take the law in your own hands, consult with a lawyer, or consult, and again, you know, we'll be glad to give you referrals of, you know, two or three counsel that you, because it is a specialty. I don't mean, lawyers are great, I've worked with them my whole life, but the more specialized you get, usually you'll get, right. And I don't mean that derogatory, but you can't know everything about everything.
It's true. It's
you know,
true.
I don't know anybody that does that except judges. They know everything about everything.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's always been true. Yeah.
But anyway, that's great. I hope to come back. I think this is great what you do, and I couldn't believe over 100 that you have. These podcasts are super, and I hope you get involved with the task force, and hope you get involved in the radio station. I think people like you all are people need to know about you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it,
and everything. So anyway, so we'll be back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
So with that, we'll look forward to it.
And that concludes the episode. We're really happy that we had Joe on here. We'll try to have more resources in the future for Joe's group once they get the website up. But other than that, you can catch our podcast via YouTube. If you do, make sure you click on the like button. Or you can always go to Spotify or anywhere that you download MP3s, including iTunes. And, of course, you can find us on the web at nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Other than that, I guess we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.